This morning, our subject is God's calling. Will you answer? God's calling. Will you answer? And our text comes from the book of Ezekiel. And today, I'm going to not to use one particular verse, but I'm going to be seeing the whole Ezekiel's call, and perhaps we can learn some lessons from it. Ezekiel served in his context. It was a very difficult context when he was alive. And in order for us to see what's going on in our context, we need to read the papers. Maybe some people don't read papers, watch the news. People like Donald Trump says fake news, and you don't want to know anything about it. But this week, these were some of the headlines. They say homicides in England and Wales hit highest level in a decade. That was this week. And they said figures show knife crime is up 6%. And I read this. And then I read an article that said rising youth crimes reflects the problems in our society. It's happening. Another headline was this. Britain, the worst in Europe for drug use. It was a survey was public on Wednesday, I think, in the Daily Mail. They said Britain is the worst in Europe for drug use, is now the drugs capital of Europe with higher levels of cocaine and amphetamine abuse than anywhere else in the European Union. So the cartel and then Colombia and Mexico, they will be happy. That's a reality, my friends. And I could go on and on with the number of young people harming themselves. And also, if we go beyond, we read the news about Sri Lanka. And we were praying, you know. And then another survey said 11 Christians kill every day for their faith. That's a reality. Nobody tried to kill us this morning when we came, isn't it? That's a blessing still. What will happen in 5 years' time? I don't know. Last year, Christians were persecuted more than ever before in the modern era. And this year is expected to be worse. People being dismissed, then fire. If in the moment a person says something about morality, they are fired. And that's a reality. If you have a good position in your workplace and you talk, you dare to talk about something, you are out. That is the reality, my friends. But now, let me tell you something. Some people, we live gloomy times. So, let me read something to you. What happened in Great Britain in 1740. In 1740, I'm going to read it. They say, it was the worst of times. At the height of the Industrial Revolution, before the introduction of trade unions or any counterbalancing force, the rich were getting richer and the poor were being crushed. Children, my friends, children were being sent into the mines at the age of 5 or 6, putting in 14 or 16 hours days. There were 280 crimes on the books for which you could be executed by hanging, including stealing a loaf of bread. That was Great Britain in 1740s. In some part of London, every building was either a brothel or a pub. In fact, religion had sunk so low in the British Isles that on Easter Sunday, we celebrated Easter Sunday, that Sunday, and we were blessed. In many churches in this country were blessed. But in Easter Sunday, 1740, only 6 people, my friends, 6 people show up for communion at St. Paul's Cathedral in London. 1740s. It was the worst of times. And yet, 1734, God raised up a young man by the name Howell Harris in Wales. In 1738, George Whitefield started preaching in London and Bristol. In 1740, the Wesley brothers started to preach. What? The gospel. Not being kind or being nice. The gospel of Jesus Christ. And over the next 60 years, there came such a mass of social overturn out of the preaching of the gospel that Great Britain was not the same beast anymore. It was a place that would send people to countries like my country to preach the gospel, not being kind or nice. The gospel of Jesus Christ. Out of this came new laws on child labor. Out of this came the beginning of trade unions that counterbalance some of the power the rich people have without any accountability. Out of this came the beginning of prison reform. Out of this also came the beginnings of welfare, hospital care, and the like. You enjoy the NHS? Out of the preaching of the gospel. It was the best of times, my friend. The best of times. Now, we were not the saints that had been in a gloomy place. Almost 600 years before Christ, Ezekiel lived in times that were remarkable for their decadence on just every front. Ezekiel says to have been a priest, and it's more likely he heard preaching Jeremiah. He learned from Jeremiah, and because his writings resemble what he does. In Ezekiel, and 10,000 exiles had been living in a concentration camp in Babylon. He began to serve the Lord as a prophet in 593 BC. And for 6 years, he sought diligently to break down the false hopes. Can you imagine? That it was gloomy. There were false hopes, like we have false hopes in our society. He proclaimed the tragic news that Jerusalem was going to be destroyed. And we have the picture we have this morning of the dry bones as the center of his preaching. Ezekiel has a call from the Lord. He has to go and speak the message that God has given him for them. So let's read together just one verse before we pray, as we explore the call of Ezekiel in our call. Shall we read together just verse 3? The word of the Lord. Please. Let us pray. Father, thank you for Ezekiel. Thank you for those preachers in 1740s and in this land. Faithful people. And out of that, great blessings were upon this land. In out of the preaching of Ezekiel, your people understood your message. Father, we place into your hands our time together this morning, that we will be able to learn from the call of Ezekiel. Help us to apply that upon our lives, and help us to hear your sweet voice this morning, because we come in the name of Jesus. Amen. A call or commission of the prophets. When we think about call, we think about the call of a minister. We think about the call of a missionary. But each person has a commission from God. Each individual, if you have yielded your life to Christ, you have a calling. Sometimes people say, well, I don't have this gift. Or I cannot do this or that. My friend, God has called you to serve. And God has called you to please him. And you have a calling wherever you are. And now here, you know, we see that every person has this powerful calling. Sometimes, you know, it's so sad that we don't realize that. And here we can find some elements that can be applied to every Christian in the calling of Ezekiel. He was a priest, as I said, and he has been taken to Babylon. It was five years before he has this burden. He was 30 years old. He was one of the captives, and he is there, and his people know him. And the Lord, and we read the verse that you read this morning, they said, the word of the Lord came to him alone. It was personal. Now, has this happened to you? When you read your Bible, and you say, wow. This happened to you when you are in a Bible study, when you hear a sermon, that you are thinking about something and you cannot shake it off, you cannot do it. And then You feel that is something special about it. Even when you don't hear the preacher, when you don't like the preacher, you don't like the Bible verses, you know there is something there. The hand of the Lord was upon him. What is important about the calling of Ezekiel, the first chapter, is the nature of God's call on Ezekiel's life. Every person is not called on the same way. Ezekiel is called with this supernatural vision. Samuel was called before he was born, as a child. Elisha was called to be an apprentice to the prophet Elijah. And then Amos was a shepherd. So we all have different call, but every person has a call. And poor Ezekiel had an unpopular message to preach. What is the message he have to preach? Repentance and judgment. And the people could not have been less receptive to his words. Repentance and judgment. Now, let's see what we can learn from the calling of the first of all, Ezekiel must have courage. God equipped Ezekiel with courage. So tell the person next to you, you must have courage. You must have courage. You know, if you have the calling of God, you must have courage. You see, let's turn with me to chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. And listen to what the Lord says, you know, the Lord says to Ezekiel. He says, and you, son of man, do not be afraid. Be courageous. Don't be afraid of them, other word. Do not be afraid, though briars and thorns all are around you, and you live among scorpions. Do not be afraid of what they say, or be terrified by them. Though they are rebellious people, you must speak my words to them, whether they listen or fail to listen, for they are rebellious. Be courageous. Be courageous. In revival times, like happened in 1740s, you know, in the 1770s, in the Great Britain, it is a wonderful thing to go and preach. When the culture is against you, however it takes, you need what? Courage. God gave him courage to face the people. The people of God. Even sometimes it's difficult, even in churches. We need to have courage to teach the gospel, because the Lord says to him, you must speak my words to them. Are you willing to do this? It doesn't like, you know, it look like it. Are you willing to speak the word of the Lord? Yes. You must have courage. These people were in rebellion. They were rebellious people. That's what the Lord says. They don't want to listen. But you must have courage. Now, the second thing that we can learn from Ezekiel. First is courage. The second, Ezekiel must be a man of integrity. Tell the person, you must have integrity. You must have integrity. You must have integrity. Courageous and integrity. Read with me in verse 8. And let's read together verse 8 of chapter 2 of Ezekiel. Let's read together. But you, son of man, now, in the end of this verse 8, Ezekiel received the command from God to open his mouth, and God will give him something to eat. It is a scroll, we are told, that is written on both sides. We don't have time to unpack everything, but it is a way to sign the fullness and the totality of God's purpose and judgment. And everything is there. And the remarkable thing is that when Ezekiel eats it, in chapter 3, verse 3, says, then he said to me, said the prophet, son of man, eat this scroll. I am giving you and fill your stomach with it. So I ate it, and it tasted as sweet as honey in my mouth. Wow. That's stunning. Because it tastes like honey. Now, listen, we are so programmed by our culture that when we come to passages in the scriptures about judgment and doom, you know, I better don't read that. I prefer not to be there. That's the reality, isn't it? You know what it looks like? That you are better than God. That you have more compassion to God. Sorry, my friend, is there. I have problems. As I said to the other, I think last Sunday, I am reading, my devotions are in Deuteronomy, and I want to run away sometimes. You know, because they say, how am I going to preach on this? You know, it's true, but I have to preach on those things. And then, you know, I guess, you know, we are to proclaim, you know, this, oh, we are more compassionate than God. Oh, that's God is awful. And somewhere along the line, we must have preachers and Christians who empathize with, you know, with God's point of view. And even the words of lament, the words of judgment, they are sweet. Do you believe that? Even when I read that I have to pay for my sins, they are sweet. Ezekiel does it. And this doesn't mean that we are triumphalists. No. God encourages us to be people of what? Of integrity. How? God calls us to be holy, sanctified, be different to people. The weakness we have among people in our community is a sermon in itself. Paul says, you are a letter that people have to read. It gives us credibility, or it robs of that. It robs of it. The people have to see that you are the real stuff. When I talk to young people, you know, I think I mentioned before, I was talking to one young person in Reading. They have a big Christian union, and they were going to a church, 200 young people only. And they asked some of the young people, they are doing their masters. And I said, well, why do you come to, what is good with these pastors? You know, and I heard a couple of young people say, they are the real stuff. They are not hypocrites. They have integrity. If they fail, you confess from the pulpit that you fail. They are not some kind of, a pastor, a minister, a vicar. No. Integrity. And we are vulnerable. And our young people want to see the real stuff. And the church is full and ready. You can go and visit some of the churches, and they love this pastor. Some of them, they haven't finished training in colleges, and they are doing great. The Bible says in Leviticus 20, verse 26, shall we read together? You are to be holy because I, the Lord, am holy. I have set you apart from the nations. We have to be different. What's the problem? What's the point on going to church if my fellow student, my fellow workers, my neighbor have the same life I have? What's the point? God is holy, holy, holy. God encourages us to be people of integrity. God, we cannot speak with authority against a sin if we are involved in it. And people are watching to see if we are people of integrity or not, my friends. Finally, what is the first one that we learned from Ezekiel? Courage. Second? And the third one, Ezekiel is called to be obedient. Tell the person, you are called to be obedient. You are called to be obedient. We don't like sometimes that word. And then listen to what the Lord says in chapter, turn with me to chapter 3, verse 7 to 9. They said, you must speak my words to them, whether they listen or not. But the people of Israel are not willing to listen to you because they are not willing to listen to me. For all the Israelites are hardened and obstinate, but I will make you as unyielding and hardened as they are. I will make your forehead like a hard stone, harder than flint. Do not be afraid of them or terrified by them, though they are rebellious people. Wow. You know what God is seeing? A confrontation there. And then he said, I will make your forehead like the hardest stone, harder than flint. Do you hear what God is saying? There will be a head-butting context there. Sorry, that's what happened. You know, Ezekiel said, you are not going to lose, my friend. You are not going to crack. I'm going to make your forehead harder than anybody else. Now I realize that this is the problem. You know, sometimes, you know, when you are a Christian and you said to your friend, you know, that's wrong. Or, you know, the Bible doesn't say that. And some people, they don't want to accept that we are wrong, you know. And then God says, I know saying, by the way, okay? Are you reading there? Are you reading that said, I will make your forehead like the hardest stone, hardened than flint. God doesn't call weak people. In our weakness, we are strong. And we are going to be there. You know, God will call you. Eventually, we need people who are passionate. And you just go to that confrontation. And you are faithful. You don't change it. You want to be nice to your friends. Don't change it. Be faithful. God is faithful. And he expects his people to be faithful. Let's explore what happened there. Maybe that's the reason why sometimes we don't understand this. You know, in when the people were in exile, let's see what happened there. They got along rather well in Babylon. You know, and they were permitted to possess their own houses. You can read that in verse 4, chapter 3. And there is an illusion that there is no illusion of to hardship imposed on there. Yeah, they were very nice people. You know, you worship your God. We can worship our God. We can live in peace. That was the situation. You know, there was a kind of contentment there. And some of them prosper to the extent that later, when they have the opportunity to return, they say, I want to stay here. My business is good. My neighbors are so nice. And that was what happened. And now, the majority of the exiles were gripped with a sense of despair. Said, well, what are we going to do? We are under judgment. And many things had happened to shake their faith. They feared that God had either completely cast them off of that his power, or his power was inferior to the other God. So the people were confused. And in the middle of that, Ezekiel preached. And he said, be obedient, be faithful. In Ezekiel chapter 18, verses 20 to 23, this is what he says to the people. The one who sins is the one who will die. The child will not share the guilt of the parent, nor will the parent will share the guilt of the child. The righteousness of the righteous will be credited to them, and the wickedness of the wicked will be charged against them. Some people say, well, my parents disobeyed, and it's no point to go back to, you know, to this God. God has abandoned. And then Ezekiel said, but if a wicked person turns away from all the sins they have committed and keeps all my decrees and does what is just and right, that person will surely die, will surely live. They will not die. None of these offenses they have committed will be remembered against them. Because of the righteous thing they have done, they will live. Do I take pleasure in the death of the wicked, declares the sovereign Lord? Rather, I am. Am I not pleased when they turn from their ways and leave? Ezekiel preached the gospel. You remember when Peter preached? He said, repent. Ezekiel is doing the same. Verse 31 and 32 says, read yourself. Shall we read together these two verses? Read yourself. Repent and live. Maybe we're thinking, well, God has abandoned. Maybe you are thinking, I cannot change. My friend, you can change. Oh, I am beyond redemption. God loves you. And he can change you. I have friends who, even myself, I thought, oh, these people, terrible. When they were touched by the Lord, I think they are far better than I am. Repent and leave. We, like Ezekiel, we should eat the book. I'm not saying that you eat your Bible, okay? But by so doing, you know, study your Bible, love it. Don't run away from it. You know, it will give God a better opportunity to speak to us. Don't allow, you know, in Latin America, we're having a discussion at the moment. They are saying that some pastors, they don't want to put verses on the screen because they are so offensive now. Can you imagine? They want to hear stories and wishy-washy things. Ezekiel said, eat the book, but don't take it literally, okay? Study it. Pondered, and whenever preacher comes to this place, he or she will proclaim the gospel. Because, and we will have a message for the people of our there. We are not called to be a success. We are called to be faithful to His word. My friends, it has been a pleasure to serve you here. A privilege to serve you here. And God is calling you. You are wondering what to do. You have a calling, my friend. Maybe you don't know the Lord. Surrender, you really, really, really surrender your life to Him. And you know what? He is going to do wonderful things through you. Do you believe that? The fact that I am standing before you is a miracle. I am telling you. I am the least amongst you to preach the gospel. But God ask Ezekiel to be courageous. So I have to be courageous. You have to be courageous in your college, in the university, in your workplace, in your neighborhood. Even when in your church. Even when you don't know what to do, well, just leave it. God encourages Ezekiel to be a man of integrity. Just be. What you say, do it. And finally, be obedient, my friend. Yes, we live gloomy times. But do you believe that what happened in 1740 will happen again? It looks like you don't believe it. I believe it. But start with me. Start with my children. Start with my grandchildren. Start with my family. Start with my church. And then we are going to experience what the Lord said. Rid yourself of all the offenses you have committed. And get a new heart. And a new spirit. Why will you die, people of Israel? For I take no pleasure in the death of anyone, declares the sovereign Lord. Repent and live. That is the word of the Lord. And we will give thanks to God. Let us pray. The song we are going to have before communion is a special song to me. Is the song that is related to the calling of Moses to serve God. And perhaps the Lord is touching your heart this morning. And you have been called to serve Him. To recommit your life to Him. I invite you to listen just the music, just for a moment. And just to think about how blessed you are. The Lord has something precious for you, my friend. Are you willing to answer to His calling? Not just to be a Christian, a recipient, but to be somebody who is ready to go. Perhaps I am talking to here to the person who is going to be leading this country one day. And you feel like I cannot do it. You can do it, my friend. Perhaps I am talking to somebody who has been called to go and preach to those places that are no-go areas in the United Kingdom. To preach in other countries. Are you willing to answer the call? Why not to surrender your life to Him? Maybe you have been coming to this church for 40 years, for 30 years, for 10 years. But you know you need to change. Repent and leave. He wants to transform your family. He wants to transform this city. He wants to transform this church. Are you willing to answer to His calling? Father, Thank you for your word. And I pray for Penrose Baptist Church, for every member. I pray for every person in this building this morning, that they will be able to answer to your call, that they will be courageous, that they will have integrity, and they will have obedience. So, Father, help us to respond to your calling. Amen.